the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The 13th century, rather the whole Middle Ages, was and still is referred to by many seculars as the Dark Ages. But for Catholics, it was one of the best periods of all of history. You will not learn that in public schools, however, or in secular history books. You will learn about all the bad things, the negative things. And of course, if you separate the supernatural from the natural, then you will look at it and say, from the point of view of a pagan, that those were the worst times ever. But for Catholics who wish to go to heaven, who want to stand for the rights of Holy Mother Church, who would like to stand for the rights of God, those were the best ages of all of history. You learn that by how society was set up. There was often, in many places, the church was the very center of the town, so that those from anywhere in the village could make it. But then there would often be another church on the outskirts of the town, and this was put there for those who were sick and perhaps could not travel from the outskirts of town all the way to the center. So in any case, the whole village revolved around the church rather than commerce. There was, of course, the fact that the rights of God and not of man were defended. The rights of Holy Mother Church were protected by kings and princes. You will not see that in these days. But, in fact, under the reign of King Louis of France, blasphemy was punished by God, by law. Today, because of freedom of speech, people are permitted to say whatever they want, to utter whatever sort of blasphemies against God and the saints and the church that they choose, and they are protected by law. But in France, to blaspheme, to mock God, meant that you, if you were caught, would be punished by the law. You would be branded. So in those days, the rights of God were protected. It was the age of saints. How many saints they were. In the 12th century, there was Saint Clare, Saint Francis of Assisi. There were other saints throughout the whole Middle Ages, Saint Thomas Aquinas, Saint Bonaventure, Saint Robert Bellarmine, Saint Catherine of Siena. So many wonderful saints. They all came from those Middle Ages. But because we do live in a vale of tears, nothing is perfect in this world. During that century, the 13th century, the church was also torn by heresies. Christianity had then begun to decay, both from within and without. What happened was this. The clergy, some of them, neglected their duty of preaching to the people. As a result, the people began to forget about the mysteries of their religion. And then, because of ignorance mixed with pride, heresies began to spread. One of these heresies was, of course, you know it well from past sermons, the Albigensian heresy. Now, the Albigensians pillaged churches. This is a historian saying this now. They pillaged the churches. They ravaged the monasteries. desecrated the sanctuaries of God and murdered the priests. And while they rejected every, and also they rejected every moral obligation and despised all authority. Now, what was their heresy? Their heresy was this, that there were two gods. There was a good God and an evil God. The good God made spiritual things, the soul, spirits, thoughts, ideas. But the evil God made matter. So this building, your body, things like that, things that are material, can be seen and touched and heard. Now, what happened, many of the Albigensians, they did believe this, and they put it into practice. Because if the evil God made material things, then those material things were also evil. And so many of those heretics, they killed themselves because their body, being material, was evil. But it had a soul in it. Their idea, their heretical idea, was that they would kill the body to set the soul free. So also, babies would be murdered or not had, etc. Because material is bad. Only the spirit is good. And so these were the people that many were trying to convert. Pope Innocent at that time sent missionaries among them, and yet one of the first priests to go over there to preach to these heretics was himself murdered. And so in comes Saint Dominic, who was laboring for his whole life for this moment. In his early youth, he had made a vow of perpetual chastity to Our Lady Immaculate, and he kept it till the day of his death. His one desire for his whole life long was to work as a missionary among the most degraded outlaws and sinners. And so when he was called to preach to the Albigensians, he began his work very zealously and tirelessly. He took severe penances upon himself to win the conversion of the most hardened of sinners. He preached true doctrine, and he attacked their falsehood. He prayed for them every day, every night, and he prayed sincerely. He did everything that he should have done, yet everything was of no avail. Not a single person would convert. And one day he wept over his lack of success, and then he did what we should all do when we become discouraged or find that we are not succeeding as well as we should. He turned to Our Lady and he begged her to save his work from complete failure. One author put it this way: then it was, at that moment, that the heavens opened up and the Mother of God, holding a rosary in her hand, appeared in dazzling brightness to her servant. And Our Lady, knowing the discouragement of her spiritual son, said, "Be of good courage, Dominic. The fruits of your labor shall be abundant." And then she gave the remedy. "The remedy for all the evils you have mentioned will be this. It will be simple. It will be the meditation on the life, on the death, and on the glory of my son, uniting to it the recitation of the angelic salutation by which the mystery of redemption was announced to the world." She then went on to promise Dominic that it would be a most powerful means of dissipating heresy, extinguishing vice, propagating virtue, imploring God's mercy, and obtaining Our Lady's protection. So he went about preaching the rosary. For some time it still had no effect. But then he began to work miracles. He would drive out devils with a Hail Mary. Possessed people. He would get the devils out of them. And he would do so many other miracles through a Hail Mary, through a rosary, that soon enough all of France and Spain had been converted and had begun praying the rosary daily. Hundreds of thousands of conversions at that point were made. Heaven has never stopped, ever since then, has never stopped telling us to preach, or rather to pray the rosary, and for preachers to preach the rosary. Look at Lourdes. Our Lady herself came down and prayed the rosary with Saint Bernadette. Look at Fatima. She said of Francisco, the little boy who saw the apparition, he will have to pray many rosaries to make it to heaven. But he prayed as many rosaries, and he made it to heaven. Pray the rosary, she said. Form processions, she said. The remedy to communism, she said, was to be the rosary. It is the Fatima peace plan. And so on and so forth. So many missionaries to our country have come, rosary in hand, and conquered a territory for Christ. Countless graces through these centuries, miracles, conversions through the Holy Rosary. I know them personally, and I will never stop telling you about them because they are so very miraculous. My grandfather, again, for those of you, the few of you who might not have heard this story, was not even Catholic. But his wife, my grandmother, prayed the 54-day rosary novena for his conversion every day of their marriage. And soon enough, my grandfather got sick and went to the hospital and had do not resuscitate orders for all of the medical staff, and he died. He had never converted. But the nurses missed in his charts those three letters, DNR, do not resuscitate. They resuscitated him. He then asks for a priest. He is catechized, baptized, and later on when he dies as a Catholic. Because of his wife's persevering prayer of the rosary. I know of another lady, an elderly lady, a friend of that same grandmother of mine, who, though she was Catholic in her beliefs, in her practices, in her prayers, she couldn't find it to leave Vatican II. Because, as she put it, there is the Pope. But she saw all sorts of problems with the Mass, with some of the teachings. But one devotion that she kept for years was her devotion to the Rosary. I remember seeing her pray it many times, many days, and very devoutly. She was a woman from New York. But towards the end, when we saw her declining health-wise, it was within probably the last 2 weeks, maybe a month before, she decided to travel with my family from where I grew up in Chillicothe, Ohio, to travel an hour to Columbus, Ohio, to assist at Mass, where Father Cicada was offering the true Mass. A week later, she received the last rites from Father Thielen. And a week or so later, she had died a very Catholic death. She had given up the Novus Ordo, and she had embraced the true faith once more, all because she was faithful to her rosary. I will end with this. We can never read these too much. The 15 promises of Mary to Christians who recite the rosary. Whosoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. What is a signal grace? A signal grace is this. For example, when you are not sure, you're in a situation and you are not sure what to do, how to act, what to say, or even what to believe, then you pray the rosary for that intention. And you will be given what is called a signal grace. It's a special grace that points out the right direction to you. For example, a signal grace, you hear many times people praying to St. Therese to give them a rose to show that this is right or that you have heard my prayer. That is a signal grace. Number two is, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. Thirdly, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. So if you find yourself in a habitual sin, pray your rosary. Fourthly, it will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and all its vanities, and will lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. Fifthly, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. Perhaps that is one of the most beautiful of them all. Shall not perish. That is, shall not lose his soul. Sixthly, whosoever shall recite the rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. 7. Whoever shall have a true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. If you permit me to indulge, there is a wonderful story that happened in Ireland that I just read this morning. Many years ago, a priest who must have been on vacation went from his country into Ireland. He was met there by a younger man who had come. He was crying. And the priest asked him, "Why are you crying?" The priest's name was Father Dugan. And the young man answered him, "Because my father is dying, and he does not believe that he is dying, no matter how much I tell him. And I want him to know so as he can prepare." And he continues telling the story, the young man does. He said, he believes that he is not dying because he has said the rosary every day of his life and said, "Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." And one of the promises for which he asked every day was that he would not die without the sacraments of the church. Now, at that time in Ireland, there were no priests in Ireland. So the father was so confident that he would not die without the sacraments that he said, "Since there are no priests here, I am not dying." Then Father Dugan, who was not dressed in his clerical attire, he was in some other lay clothes, he revealed who he was. He said, I am a priest. And he went to the man who had prayed his rosary, and he gave this man all of the last rites, another promise of Our Lady fulfilled in a most miraculous way. Eighthly, those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of His graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. Ninthly, I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary. Tenth, the faithful children of the rosary shall merit a very high degree of glory in heaven. 11th, you shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the rosary. 12thly, all those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their needs. 13, I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death. 14, all who recite the rosary are my sons and brothers of my only Son, Jesus Christ. And fifthly, devotion to my rosary is a great sign of predestination. In other words, a great sign that if you persevere in this devotion, that you are being pulled more and more into heaven. Hold on to your beads. Whatever goes on in your life or in your mind, hold your beads. Because on the other end, I've said it before, on the other end of the rosary beads is our Blessed Mother, pulling you bead by bead heavenward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.